Where is he?
Where are you?
Skull Rock. Do you know it?
Hello, this is Stacy over at the Skull Rock broadcast. I am joined by...
Hello, this is Megan. Welcome back to this special holiday edition of our Stranger Things podcast. We are super excited to be here recording this festive episode for you all. Yep. It is December 15th, which tell us about what that significance is in Stranger Things.
So I had no idea until I opened up Instagram, but apparently December 15th, 1984, 40 years ago, was the date of the iconic snowball dance that Elle gets to go and dance with Mike at. And I just think that's one of the best, like, prologues at the end of any season because...
Epilogue.
Fuck. Keep that in. Epilogue. Just because, like, usually, like, I don't know, like, either you're crying your eyes out or, like, what the fuck's going to happen next? It was kind of hitting the vibe of season one, which also ended around winter time, Christmas time. And I don't know, just with Time After Time playing and The Police, Every Breath You Take, which, of course, comes back for season four. Just seeing, like, that bitch Stacy not dancing with Dustin, like, what was up her ass? It must be the name. And Nancy, you know, just dancing with him and being like, oh, you were always my favorite. And just Steve Harrington just giving the best advice to Dustin and just looking like a dreamboat in that burgundy sweater.
Yeah, it's such an iconic part of season two. And we will get to that eventually. We have two more episodes to do of our Lover's Lake deep dive, but you're going to have to wait until 2025 for that. But I also, we have the Max and Lucas sweet little kiss. And it's Max's, you know, one of her favorite memories that she actually decides to hide in season four.
I thought that was such a great callback too, because, you know, her saying like, I'm going to run to the light, and, you know, Lucas being like, well, am I in your good memory? And as soon as they revealed when she opened her eyes that it was the snowball dance, like, I had nerd chills. And I just thought it was such a cool setting, especially with the fight with Vecna, with all the like snowball decorations and stuff. It just makes you think like, oh, you know, this is back when things seemed a little hopeful. Now you're fighting a fucking dream demon, like, in your school gymnasium. So, woo! But what do you think more of with Christmas, season one or season two?
I feel like I think more of season one, actually.
Agreed.
Because season two is more Halloween for the majority of it. We just get the epilogue for like the holiday time. But with season one, it's really throughout the whole season because we have like Christmas music playing at Joyce's work. She gets out the Christmas lights. I mean, the Christmas lights are like one of the most iconic things about season one.
Yeah.
All around the house and her holding them as she talks to Will. So
I'm going to actually quiz you right now, and I think you're going to get it right.
Okay.
In what scene do the Christmas lights make a cameo in season two?
Ooh, good question. I'm blanking. Is it one that we watched already?
No.
So it's one of the last two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's why it's not coming back to me, because I haven't watched them in a while.
It's one of those blink and you miss it kind of moments.
Yeah, what is it?
So it's when they're digging through everything that Hopper's like thrown out of the shed to, you know, make for Will. And Steve is digging through stuff. And it's kind of when Nancy like doesn't say it, but says it like, you know, I fucked around. And he's like, it's okay, Nancy. He picks up a big knot of the Christmas lights and he kind of makes a face and throws them down. So I always thought that was a cute little homage.
Yeah, that's funny. I'm excited to get to those last two episodes of season two. They're going to be good.
Action packed. So that's going to be happening in 2025, which blows my mind that it's going on a year of us just broadcasting over at the old Skull Rock.
Yeah, like it's December 15th right now as we're recording this. So that's why we were talking about the snowball. But when this episode comes out, it's going to be December 20th. And it's going to be the first day of our winter breaks, which is when we started recording the podcast last year. So we recorded our first few episodes when we were on break because, as you guys know, we work in school. So we get a nice little break around the holidays. So it's, you know, the most wonderful time of the year. And
truly
our
is.
Anniversary for Woo! Skull Rock Broadcast makes it even cooler that we've been doing this for a year. And it was quite the epic year. So
what a ride.
Yeah, exactly. And I, just to think, like, next year is going to be just as cool, if not cooler. So
whenever they officially announced that it's going to be 2025, I was like, I am such a nerd that on New Year's Eve, I'm going to go, when it hits midnight, I'm going to go, this is the year season 5 comes out. Like, that's my first thought. So just so unreal, because it feels like it's been forever.
Yeah, it does feel like it's been forever. I mean, it has been such a long time.
And it was 2022, which is insane. I mean, I know we kind of waited about the same length of time, a little bit longer with COVID, but this is definitely, it's just, I don't know, just thinking that it's ending, like, you know, I get a little emotional, but we already have a lot of fun episodes planned for our season 3 and our season 3 rewatch. So a lot of fun stuff planned, definitely.
Yeah. And I mean, just in general, along with season 5 next year, we will get to see the first Shadow on Broadway, finally.
Yep.
We will get to see Joseph Gwynn in Fantastic Four. Maybe some other cool stuff that we're manifesting, but we
Joe Keery album.
Oh, yeah. That too. Like, it's going to be a great year.
It is. It's going to be our year. I just cursed us.
Yeah, please take that back.
Demo bats just come in and kill us. Too soon?
Because it's the holidays and Stranger Things has such cool holiday vibes, and just for fun, we wanted to talk about our top holiday movies.
Yes. I know we're not on video, but I went all out, guys. I decked the halls, so I am all dressed up for the holiday season.
Yeah, tell us what you're wearing, Stacey.
So I am wearing, from Hot Topic, a Joe Keery, Steve Harrington shirt where he has a little Santa hat on, you know, cool. And then I'm wearing probably, you know, the loudest looking headband. It's got Christmas bulbs. I'll definitely take a picture of myself, but I got my little Christmas Steve mug. I was like, I'm going to set some ambiance. And, you know, Megan just looked at me like, I'm so done with her bullshit. But, you know, we're getting into the spirit of things. Megan, you posted your tree. Stranger Things tree.
That's my Stranger Things tree. I've had that tree since college.
That does look like a dorm room tree. Yep.
Yeah. And it's perfect for this podcast room. And it's just all decorated with Stranger Things bag clips and pins and just things that, you know, make cool ornaments for the tree.
Yeah, you got really savvy with what you use as ornaments. Good girl.
Yeah, I got the Eddie Munson Funko ornament, and it's nice. Like, it looks so cool in the package that I'm like afraid to take it out. So we'll see.
Oh man.
You didn't ask me to tell you what I'm wearing.
I know. I just noticed it again. What are you wearing, Megan?
So I'm wearing my Beyond Epic Christmas in Mystic Falls crew neck, which is just absolutely beautiful. You know, just a little nod to the Vampire Diaries. We love Emma, and it would be cool if she did some Stranger Things Christmas designs. Like, maybe needs to do that for next year. We'll put that out there for her.
Manifest.
Yeah. So we are definitely in the holiday spirit. And I was wondering, just before we start talking about Christmas movies, what is your favorite Christmas song?
Oh, that's a good one. I have to say, it's such a weird choice, but I like the instrumental version of Carol of Bells, because, you know, the na, 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 na. You're welcome, everyone. And I don't know, like, as soon as I hear that, I'm like, yeah, it's Christmas, bitches. So that's probably my favorite. What about you?
Yeah, that's a cool one. I have like a couple. One of mine is Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays by NSYNC.
Happy holidays. They're going to get us for copyright because I sounded just like them.
That's like one of my all-time favorites. And have you seen the music video for that? Do you remember?
They're in a goddamn sled.
Music video? Yeah. I like kind of want to post it on our Instagram. Like,
do it.
Because I, you know, we teach, right? So one year when I was teaching third grade, this was probably like 10 years ago at this point, I showed it to my third graders because they had never seen it.
They would probably did not know what to even think.
Yeah, probably way too many people in the world right now who have never seen that music video. So we might need to help fix that problem.
You know what? That's going to be our Christmas, you know, pay it forward, sharing the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, happy holidays.
But my all-time favorite is Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Yeah, what version do you like?
Every single one. I do not give a shit. I love that song so much.
Actually a really sad song too. Like,
it is really sad. Yeah. Yeah. But I think it's beautiful and I love all of the covers and all of the versions. Yeah.
I like that you're not picky. You're not a snob. You're not like, yeah, be this. No, I like that.
Yeah.
I respect it.
It's such a good song. So, similar to when we did our summer movie discussion, we have both chosen a few. We only did three this time instead of five.
We contained ourselves.
Yeah. So, we're going to talk about our top three Christmas movies. So, I'm excited to hear your picks. Do you want to go ahead and start with your number three?
My list is very Stacey coded. I can basically guarantee you might have heard of one. The rest of them, you're going to be like, no, what? But this one is actually a movie you could handle. It is actually called Night of the Comet from 1984. And it is about two teenage sisters. And it's the night of this, like, famous comet, like Halley's Comet, that's going to, you know, it's one in every, you know, billion years. And the last time it passed through was when the dinosaurs were around. Wink, wink. So the, like, thing is, unless you are inside, like, surrounded by, like, steel or metal, if you are outside, you turn to orange dust. So the lead character, she sleeps with her boyfriend at work at the movie theater, and they make it, you know, like, oh, you know, anybody could see us. And he's like, no, you know, the walls are steel. It's so stupid. And she walks out the next day, and she's like, where is everybody? And there's all clothes in the street and just, like, tang basically everywhere. And her sister, the cheerleader, got into a fight with her stepmom and slipped in the storage shed, which was steel. And she's like, right away, like, there's nothing wrong, even though there was a big party at the cul-de-sac. And it's just all clothes and, like, orange dust. So it's them figuring out that something bad happened. So they hear the local radio station still going. And they're like, oh, you know, there must be survivors. And they go and they find out that it's a recording, but they meet up with a truck driver who slept in his rig. Guess what, guys? It was made out of steel. And they realized that if you were, like, inside, not directly outside, you didn't turn to dust. You turn into, like, a zombie, but it's not like a scary zombie. They'll still kill you, but, like, you could handle this movie. It's very cheesy. And it's actually, like, I find it more funny than anything else. It's just really over the top, but it takes place around the holidays. So there's Christmas music constantly playing at the radio station and stuff. Somebody dresses up as Santa Claus. There's this zany little montage where Cyndi Lauper's girls just want to have fun, because right away the girls are, like, waiting on the truck driver to do something, and they're like, what should we do? And then they're like, wait, it's the end of the world. Let's go shopping. And I'm like, yeah, same. And it's just them having, like, the most fun just raiding the mall. And it's really, really funny. And it's not your typical Christmas movie, but it's definitely one I always try to put into rotation every year. So Night of the Comet, 1984.
I love that. That sounds really entertaining. I feel like I need to check it out.
Yeah. I think you'd like it.
I love that your picks are so Stacey coded. That's hilarious.
Baby. As I sip my eggnog.
So I mentioned my Christmas tree being from college, and I feel like all of my Christmas movies that are, like, my top Christmas movies now, for some reason, I, like, watched them all for the first time when I was in college. And I have very, like, fun memories of just, like, being with my college roommates around Christmas. Like, I feel like they all were, like, into Christmas like I was. And so I remember watching this one for the first time Like, we put it on when we were having like a holiday cookie exchange party in our apartment
so
in college.
Cute. See, you had the wholesome college experience. I was
did.
Playing like Edward 40 hands with my ratchet friends.
Okay, sophomore year of college, this apartment that I'm talking about, mm-hmm. we had coloring books, and they were Christmas coloring books. And we would just sit there and color, and people would come over and color in our coloring books, and we had them all around the apartment.
Oh, Megan, my sweet summer child. I adore
I
you.
I mean, we also, like, made shots, like, and, like,
I'm sure you guys got ratchet. Yeah.
But, like, yeah. We also, you know, we were
coloring in your coloring books and doing cookie exchanges.
Like, we were drinking at the cookie exchange as well, but, like, it was still fun.
I love that. Now, were there movies that you would constantly watch during these things?
Yeah, so we had Love Actually on at that Christmas party, and I don't think I had ever really seen it before college.
I saw it in theaters.
Wow, because what
I'm
year
old.
Did it come out?
Like 2004, 2005.
This was like 2007, like my sophomore mm-hmm. year of college. So it had been out for a couple years, but it was like not something that I had seen. So my college roommates kind of like introduced me to it. But
what's your favorite sub-story?
Like storyline. Yeah. So the thing is now about that movie, I've watched it pretty much every year since then. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little like tired of it at this point.
It didn't age well either. I hate to say it.
Yeah. There's a lot of parts that are a little cringy, like not politically correct, but I love so many of the storylines.
Hugh Grant dances in it.
Yes.
It's just zany.
Hugh Grant dancing is like one of my top moments. What's his name? Walking Dead guy with the signs.
Andrew Lincoln. What a goddamn psychopath. And I love all the memes of Keira Knightley being like, I look quite pretty, don't I? Like, dude.
I love the sign part, though. It's just, like, so iconic.
What a piece
and
of shit, friend.
And I used to, like,
friend.
Say that was, like, the Walking Dead prequel.
Yep, that's what really drove Rick Grimes to, you know, join law enforcement, you know?
Yeah, and then when they jump in the pond and try to get all of the papers.
Oh, yeah, because there's the secretary, like, the maid that doesn't speak English. There's the guy who goes to America, right? Because he's like,
oh my God,
the ladies love the accent.
Also, it's really funny because if you watch some of these movies on like TV, they'll cut mm-hmm. out some of the parts.
Like
so the body doubles.
Two porn stars, I can't.
They're not porn stars, though. They're body doubles for like a movie.
I'm dead.
You know what I mean? So
I always thought they were porn stars because they're completely naked.
I know. They get like completely cut out if you watch it on like what's it used to be ABC Family.
Oh,
like,
well, yeah. You know? Could you imagine? Jeez. Woo! I do love when the British guy goes.
Is so cute.
When he's like with all the like hot girls and they're making him say stuff and then they like point to the beer bottle and they're like, what's that? And he goes, bottle, and they're like, oh, sounds
yeah.
the same.
And then they go home and like have like a foursome, like
I can't. That's such a good pick. I haven't seen that in years.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's just so many parts that are just so iconic. There's a lot of parts that are really annoying, like what's his name, who is like the old rock star.
I'm not even kidding you. Him being not being able to sing the Christmas version and him just go like doing that whole spew of swears, being like asshole and hole. I'm like, that is Stacey recording the podcast and just making me like, we got to do another take.
So this is what I was going to say. I almost tried to like make a meme of it because, you know, when he goes to the radio station and he starts talking about shagging Britney Spears and the guy has to like cut him off. I'm like, this is me and Stacey on the podcast.
Dude, if you can do it. Because I just remember him being like, kids, don't buy drugs. Have other people buy them for you. That's literally Megan being like, I have to edit Stacey.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm that guy.
So relatable. Because I did put it on the other day and I didn't finish it. So I still need to finish it. It's also like very long.
It is. Yeah.
But yeah, those are some of my favorite parts. I do love Laura Linney and like the hot guy that she's like in love with at work.
Oh, my. That one
the
breaks
whole storyline with her brother, too, is just like, right. It's just like very hard to watch, I guess.
Yeah.
But I love when they like are making out in the bed.
Girl.
Because that guy is so hot.
He is the guy from the movie Unfaithful with Diane Lane, where she cheats on, you know, Richard Gere. It's the early aughts movie, but he's the dude that she screws. And even back then I was like, same, Miss Lane. Same. Like,
yeah. Whew. Yeah. So when like Laura Linney's character like goes and she's like, give me a second, and she like does a little like cheer.
She, like,
when
throws her.
She goes, cleans her apartment. I'm like, that's me when people are coming over.
Just throw everything in the tub. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just so many fun memories with that, because like I said, I would watch it with my roommates, and then I've watched it pretty much every year since then. So yeah, I love it. And it's just so like comforting and just entertaining and funny. And yeah, when Hugh Grant goes caroling and then they start singing Old King Wenceslas.
Goodbye.
Driver joins in. I could like just recite all of the moments that I love so much from that.
I know you actually mentioned Love Actually with the Teen Wolf moment, which I love. That was one of our Patreon clips about Mr. Bean's little cameo.
Yeah.
Alan Rickman's having a panic attack. And I'm like, Oh, Mr. Bean, good for you.
Yeah. And then like what's Alan Rickman's wife in the
Emma Thompson. Her listening to the song.
Joni Mitchell.
Joni Mitchell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. And I adore Alan Rickman, but he is just, there is no redeeming qualities in that goddamn movie.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
See, that's a good Christmas movie. It makes you laugh, but it tugs on the heartstrings. So
yeah,
that was a great pick, Megan. So speaking of Alan Rickman, my next pick is the 1988 classic Die Hard, which I know
I've never seen it.
Shut the fuck up. You've never seen Die Hard.
I've never seen it. I feel
Megan.
Like I like, maybe I should watch it.
Yes. Man. It is
Bruce Willis in it too.
Oh yes, and it's when he was still on
the
lighting.
I do love Bruce Willis. Yeah.
Oh, and he's just so charming, because I guess
Armageddon is one of my like top 10 favorite movies ever.
Girl, we'll have to like geek out about Armageddon one day, because that was constantly on in my house and love it. But Bruce Willis is just one of those actors like I've just always loved. And I actually have this special little connection to this movie. So this movie, I guess, was released early on what you would call a video screener, which was a special VHS tape that they would give. So back in the day, there were certain video stores that weren't public, like Family Video or Blockbuster and stuff. They weren't chains. You actually had to pay a certain amount of money per month, and only members could go in. I don't know how they stayed afloat, you know, float, drug friends. So my mom was a member of the one down the street, and they would send, the like studio would send the store their like exclusive members, these screeners of movies that were still playing in theaters. And my mom was pregnant with me, and she was like, yeah, I don't know what it was, but like, I found that movie oddly comforting, which, okay. It is like a super violent, like things are fucking exploding. Everyone is saying the F word, like guns are going off. Like, it's like not really a calming movie, but my mom admitted to me that she watched it every day for the first 3 months of her pregnancy with me. So one day I looked at my sister and I said, oh yeah, I remember all those stories about how she talked about how she would read when she was pregnant with you. She gets an Alexis, law school graduate, doing that. You watch Die Hard 3 months through your pregnancy, you get a Stacy. So fun little flavor.
If anybody wants to, you know, make their own Stacy.
Make your own Stacy.
That's the recipe.
That's the recipe, you know, three shakes of Die Hard. But I always made jokes that the first voices I ever heard were Bruce Willis's and Alan Rickman's. But it's just about this cop that's coming in from New York. He's visiting his wife, who got this big, like, bougie job in this high-rise apartment. She moved to the West Coast, and they're kind of on the outs. And he flies out to go to her Christmas party. And I guess, like, it was based off a novel from the 70s. Originally, Frank Sinatra was supposed to play the lead, but by then he was a little too old to do it. So they were like, we need an action star, but not like a Sylvester Stallone, not like an Arnold Schwarzenegger. We want somebody who's like kind of cocky and funny and like the everyday man. And at the time, Bruce Willis was on Moonlighting with Cybill Shepherd, and everybody kind of liked his kind of like, you know, cocky little pain in the ass, you know, attitude. So he got cast, and Alan Rickman plays the German terrorist, Hans Gruber. And it's basically about how the Nakatomi Plaza, that's the high rise, they're basically like all these German terrorists like crash the Christmas party when poor Bruce Willis is in the bathroom and holds everybody hostage. And there's a reason, there's a method to their madness, because you're like, what would they want in a high rise apartment building? Well, they didn't count on Detective John McClane being there. And since he was in the bathroom, they didn't, you know he was there. So he may or may not have killed a bad guy and gets a machine gun, and he has a radio, and he basically is like playing the cat and mouse game throughout this like 30 story tower while, you know, the bad guys are trying to catch him. But the really great thing is he is in communication with this police officer down below, and it's the dad from Family Matters. So I am just tickled pink, because there's this iconic scene where when they introduce his character, he's buying Twinkies at the gas station across from Nakatomi Plaza. The guy ringing him up is such a prick. He goes, the cops are supposed to like donuts. And he just looks and he goes, they're for my wife. And he goes, yeah, sure. And he goes, she's pregnant. He goes, mm-hmm. And he goes, bag it. And the guy goes, big time. Just such a prick, but it's so quotable, Megan. Like, it's kind of like got that weird comedy vibe to it. Like, there's two FBI agents that show up. One's white, one's African-American, and they're Agent Johnson & Johnson, but they have to state each time, no relation. It's just, it's so good, and it's full of action. It's got probably one of the most iconic villains' death in it, and it's just a staple. I do not recommend part two, which also takes place around Christmas time. Part three is quite good. Die Hard with a Vengeance with Sam Jackson, but Die Hard is a Christmas movie because it takes place during a fucking Christmas party. And Run DMC's, what is it like? It's Christmas time in Hollis, Queens. Mom's cooking the collard greens. Whatever that song is, plays at the beginning. And there is a limo driver named Argyle, and he's super sassy, and I love it. So 5 stars, highly recommend it.
Stranger Things connection. There you go.
Exactly.
Okay, so I didn't really know which order to put all of mine in. So, like, I would say these are just not really in, like, a hierarchy. So I'm going to save the other one that I was going to talk about until last. But
okay.
I'll talk about this one next. Again, feel like I watched this for the first time in college. So The Holiday, obviously.
Do you know I've never seen The Holiday?
No way, Stacey.
See, this is my Die Hard. Yeah, I've never seen it.
I'll watch Die Hard if you watch The Holiday.
Shake
deal,
on it.
Boom. Shake. Deal. Yes.
We'll report back, guys. Tell me about it.
It's okay. So also, this is going to be fun because like a couple of the things I'm going to talk about later in our secret segment are like based on this, which is why I love them so much. But
okay. It's
the whole premise is like a house swap situation. So we've got Cameron Diaz, and she lives in L.A. and
okay. This
really nice house. She makes movie trailers for a living.
Oh, that's cool.
And so there's this really funny movie trailer at the beginning that's like Lindsay Lohan, and it's like an action movie. And that's the movie trailer that they're like cutting at the very beginning. But she has this boyfriend. He's cheating on her. So
bastard.
She kicks him out and
Good. She
wants to get away and like for the holidays.
Mm.
So then you've got Kate Winslet, who
she's
is
in this?
London. Yes.
I love
and
Kate Winslet.
She lives in this like idyllic little cottage, like, and she has this like friend who used to be, it's an ex who's now a friend, who's like a friend with benefits type situation.
Oh yeah, girl, get it.
He's about to get married to
oh.
the woman that he left her for. So, and they work at like a newspaper together. They both are like super unhappy and kind of want to get away for the holidays. So they end up looking for like a getaway, and they are both on this like house swap website. So Kate
oh my
Winslet.
God. I'm seeing if it's streaming right now. This sounds great.
Yeah, I think
it
I watched it. It was streaming.
It's on Prime.
Yes, but like double check because that might be, again, the edited for TV version, which missing some things.
Yeah, no.
So you need to make sure you watch the
original. Version.
The unedited version, because there were just like certain scenes that were like missing from, and like this really hilarious part with like the gardener. She's like fighting with her, Cameron Diaz is fighting with her about to be ex, and there's like a gardener like watching the whole interaction, and that was like cut out in like the version that I just watched that I think I watched on Prime. So I was like so mad. But
okay, I'm gonna avoid that. I want to see the gardener.
Yeah, you need to see the gardener. But
so it's almost like a Craigslist thing. They answer an ad and they switch houses.
Yeah,
so
they
Kate
switch
Winslet
houses.
Goes to LA.
Correct.
Cameron Diaz goes to England.
Yes, and then Kate Winslet in LA becomes friends with two people. So her old neighbor, who was like old Hollywood, like he worked in movies. I forget like exactly what he did. Like he wasn't an actor, but he like knew all of the like actors and actresses from when like classic Hollywood was like happening.
Cool.
So she makes friends with him. And then she also meets Jack Black, who is a
composer.
Yeah. So he composes music, which is how he knows Cameron Diaz, because she makes movie trailers. So it's like you'll like this one part. They like go to Blockbuster together, like Kate Winslet and Jack Black go to Blockbuster, and he's
tell
like
it's
humming
an early aughts movie. Yeah,
he's humming like the theme songs to a whole bunch of different movies and stuff.
Oh,
and
my God.
Yeah, like I can't believe you've ever seen this.
Never. And everyone swears by it.
Yeah. And then in England at the cottage, Cameron Diaz gets like really drunk the first night she's there and like decides she's going to leave the next day. She's like, what am I doing here? And in the middle of the night, some stranger knocks on the door and he's also very drunk, and it's Jude Law.
Jude Law, isn't it?
Yes. He's the hottest guy like I've ever seen in my life is
Girl,
Jude Law.
Early aughts Jude Law?
Yes.
Holy shit.
Yes.
Oh my God, I'm excited now. I'm like, going to literally watch it after we're done doing this. I'm pumped.
Like, it is, he is so hot in this movie. And like, the next morning, he like puts on glasses and it's like,
Girl. I even thought he was hot in that movie where he played the robot AI. Like, he was Dreamboat back in the day. So the fact that this is what, 2005 probably?
I think so. Something around then. Yeah. Yeah, so I just want to do two honorable mentions, but do you have any honorable mentions first?
All right, so one real quick, the original Black Christmas, you would not like that at all.
Okay,
not
too scary.
It. One of the scariest movies ever seen. I will not watch it alone in my house. That's how scary it is.
Wow.
They've remade it twice. The 2006 remake is just like silly. And then there was one in 2019 where in the first like 5 minutes a girl was like, oh, where's my diva cup, and she like puts it in. I was like, you know what, life's too short. I shut it off. But the original one from 1974, which was directed by Bob Clark, the same director of A Christmas Story, everyone thinks it's so funny that he like directed these two iconic Christmas movies, but they're so polar opposite. But it's got an all-star cast. It's got Olivia Hussey, John Saxon, Margot Kidder from the Superman movies, and it's about this sorority in Canada. Shout out Haley. Anything with Canada. Shout out Haley. And it, like, during the Christmas season, these girls are all going to be going away. And everyone says that it's like the prequel to Halloween. It's what inspired John Carpenter, where there's the POV of somebody outside climbing the terrace and goes into the attic and is creeping down at night, killing the sorority girls. And he harasses the girls by the most disturbing fucking phone calls. Like, it sounds like there's multiple people on the line. And it's one of those, like, the calls are coming from inside the house. And I remember I watched it with my friend Jeanette. And there's a scene where the lead girl finds that out from the police officer. He's like, okay, so we trace the calls. Hang up the phone and just get out. And she's like, well, my two friends are upstairs. And he's like, nope, just leave. Because he doesn't want to, like, spill the beans and panic her. And he ends up, she's like, well, let me just go upstairs. She's being stupid. And he goes, the calls are coming from inside the house, from the, you know, the house mother's room. I told Jeanette, I was like, girl, I love you, but my ass would have been already down the street. Every man for himself, you know, like, I'm that person that if somebody broke in right now, I'd throw Quinn at the intruder than my Christmas tree, and I would be in the next county. I'm flight, not fight. So, yeah, I would not survive. No, actually, I would survive that movie. Everybody else would be dead. So Black Christmas in 1974, but my other honorable mention, I mean, yeah, you have the classics like Home Alone and stuff, but have you ever seen the 2005 movie, The Family Stone?
Okay, spoiler alert. That's my next one.
We are going to have so much to talk about.
I know. Let's talk about that in a second.
I am pumped.
I love it so much. You posted about it the other day, and I clocked that, but I was like, I'm going to wait because I want to talk about it on the podcast because I love that movie so freaking much.
Me too, even though, like, so, fuck it, I'm just going to talk about it, but literally, I will save my pick last, but literally, so back in 2005, there was still a Blockbuster, and my sister was visiting home, and she's like, oh, like, do you see the trailer to this? Guys, look up the trailer of The Family Stone.
It, like, I don't know if I've ever seen the like, trailer.
The music that plays when they're going through the airport in Home Alone, and it looks like this zany, funny comedy. So you're like, this looks charming. That's what
it is thought. Charming.
It is
funny.
It is, but it is emotionally taxing.
It's so emotionally taxing.
And I know Sarah Jessica Parker. I'm a big Sex and the City fan. I'm a huge fan of her in general. But she's
annoying
to
as
be
fuck in that
playing
movie.
Annoying. You know, like I remember when I first watched it, I was like, these people are being terrible. Like Amy Adams, it's a huge stacked cast.
Yeah.
I was like, Diane Keaton's being a bitch. Amy Adams is being a huge bitch because it was right off of Mean Girls. And then I rewatched it again last month and I went, no, I don't blame them. She's insufferable.
She's so annoying.
With the throat clearing.
I totally relate to like the family in that. Not that like I don't have that big of a family, but I feel like we like are pretty close. And like, I feel like that's why it hits so hard too.
Mm-hmm. And just the fact, like, she won't sleep in the same bedroom as her long-term boyfriend, Dermot Mulroney, right?
Who he's so hot in that movie, and now he's so fucking old.
Yeah, what the fuck happened? Like, girl,
he has
like,
not aged that well.
The wedding date, copycat, I loved him. And then he showed up in Scream 6, and I was like, oh, girl, like, it happens to all of us. But literally, like, he is so hot, but she's like, oh, no, we can't stay in the same room. And kicks poor Amy Adams out of her bedroom. So literally she's like, no, it's proper. And then the notorious fucking dinner scene, which
I think the even worse than the dinner scene, is awful, like to watch,
like
but
sweating,
the,
thinking about
the,
it
when they wake up in the morning after, I won't spoil it for anybody who hasn't seen it, but if when they wake up in the morning and like the chase around the house
and the table like, collapses,
yeah, and all of the eggs,
yeah, like what did she make? Because remember they were like, oh, that doesn't
strata.
Have
strata is
what
it was called. I don't know, let's Google it real quick.
Because I love that Emmett, her like boyfriend, is allergic to mushrooms and everybody keeps going, that doesn't have mushrooms in it. She's like, I didn't know, because it's all packed of mushrooms.
It's a simple five-ingredient meal. It's like a breakfast. It has eggs, bread. I think it's sort of like a casserole. Like an egg casserole.
Quiche or something. Yeah. Yeah. I'd be all about that. But that shit goes flying. And like, not for anything, Dermot Mulroney, as soon as Claire Danes, callback.
I love Claire Danes.
Her falling off the bus, like, I felt bad. I was like, that'd be me. But, like, just the fact that, like, he instantly, like, I'm going to spoil it.
Falls
like, smitten with her. And he's like, you should try on, you know, the engagement ring. And he gets
that
stuck.
That part is terrifying.
And I do love Sarah Jessica Parker because I'm like, this is Mary Stacy when the two sisters are alone in the bathroom. And she's like, you know, I didn't mean it. Got stuck on my, you know, finger. I didn't mean it. And she goes, well, let me see it. And then she goes, that's it.
It is so good. It's so sad. I like when what's the who plays the dad and the brother
Curtin
and they
Nelson. Oh yeah, and then one of the Wilson brothers, Luke
is it
Wilson.
Luke Wilson. Yeah. When they go and like eat the brownies
the
and
pot brownies.
So stoned. The family
like,
stone.
Did you have family stone? Yeah. Did you have fun getting high with your father? Oh man. And it's got like, I'm rewatching The Haunting of Hill House. It's got the older sister in it. She's pregnant in it, which, all right. Rewatching this, her daughter.
She's from Grey's Anatomy too.
Oh, she's the crazy bitch.
She's the one that like gets in an accident and her face is all like different.
She's like, I need a new face, and like she fakes a pregnancy with Karev. Oh, I fucking remember, dude. She's crazy. Crazier than a shithouse rat. Yeah,
but I like her a lot in that movie.
Her in this movie's really good because there's actually a really like moving scene with Have Yourself a Very Merry Christmas playing.
Yep. But she's watching Meet Me in St. Louis and Judy Garland is singing that on the TV screen. Yeah.
When you mentioned that song, that's what I thought of, because just that montage. But her daughter raking Sarah Jessica Parker's heel. I'm sorry. I'm not a parent, but I'd be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. She doesn't even apologize. She's like, oh, we might have some glue. And like Sarah Jessica Parker just makes it even more awkward. She's like, I think I have another pair to go with that outfit. And I'm just like, this, like, make it stop. But I love this movie, but it's so un-fucking comfortable.
Yeah, there's so many uncomfortable parts, but like, it's like the, I guess the payoff is good.
Mm.
Like, I don't know, because it's very like touching and, well, devastating.
Devastating.
But, yeah.
I do love the whole like gift of the photo of her pregnant and she finds out that it was actually Amy Adams. Like, That tugs on the heartstring. It makes up for the tear scene, because I will never forget, because this was eons ago, me and Alexis literally just looked at each other and we were like, we don't know what to do. Like, we don't know. We were having panic attacks because we were like, the trailer lied. This isn't zany and, you know, lighthearted. This is really horrible. Anxiety drives. But I'm so glad that was your pick, because I'm literally, Jeanette, my friend, knows about it, and we're such monsters. We made our friends Kat and Anthony in college watch it, and we were like, yeah, it's a really funny comedy. Just, they were like, it was good, but like, why is it so awkward? And I'm like, it's meant to make you uncomfortable.
So my college connection there was, it was senior year of college. No, junior year of college. There were six of us, like a 3-bedroom apartment, and one of my roommates, we did a Secret Santa, and one of my roommates got me that movie, like a DVD of that movie.
I love that.
For Christmas, and I had never seen it before. She knew I had never seen it before, but like, she knew I would love it. So so let me do my honorable mentions, since my other top pick has already been discussed.
Yeah, I spoiled that. Yeah.
It's so good, though. Definitely watch it if you have never seen The Family Stone.
Mm-hmm.
And don't blame us for your emotional trauma.
Yeah, report back about the dinner scene.
Yeah. So completely different, like, genre to my other three, but also one of my freshman year roommate actually gave me this movie.
I love that this is a timeline of your college experience. This is just making me so happy.
But Elf, like, I had never seen Elf, and my roommate freshman year was like, hey, you would love this, like, and gave me that movie, and I did love it. And it's like, I'm not like usually that kind of like comedy, like,
yeah,
and I don't really like, if I rewatch that, I don't like pay close attention. I'll like have it on in the background.
It's background noise. Yeah.
Cause it's not like, I don't really need to watch all of that, but there are like some moments that are like really sweet and really funny, and my favorite. And 2 years now, I've gone to that Festival of Trees, and there's this woman who has embroidered sweatshirts, and mm-hmm. I might have to like go find her website and buy it, because she has a sweatshirt with like this part embroidered on it, but it's the Norwal.
I swear to God, I was about to guess that, because that's my favorite part.
Bye, buddy. Hope you find your dad.
Thanks, Mr. Narwhal. And it's so random. And then he goes back into the water.
It's,
and I love
the best.
The little creatures like running. And I was like, well, yeah.
That's the narwhal, the best part of the movie. So
it really is.
I just need to rewatch it like for that scene.
Yeah. Get that shirt, by the way.
I need to get that sweatshirt. Like, I feel like I would wear it like all winter.
If you ever hear me quote, I'm sure I did it a few times during the Upside Down Con, I go, congratulations, you did it. World's best cup of coffee.
Yeah, that's
I quote that
too. Yeah.
Constantly. And I love it. Tastes like a crappy cup of coffee. No, it's the best cup of coffee.
Yeah. And I love Zooey Deschanel, like in New Girl and everything. So
big
I think she's really
Days of Summer fan.
Yeah, that's a good movie too. But she's good in that movie. I think it's sweet. Like,
yeah,
it's weird to see her like blonde. But
I know, yeah,
yeah. So that's my one honorable mention. And my other honorable mention is every season of The O.C. There's four seasons. There's a Chrismica episode.
Shut up.
Have you never? You've never seen The O.C., right?
I saw like a handful of episodes back when I was in high school. I can't
remember. So the main family are the Coens, and Seth Cohen is the son, and they take in Ryan, who's like this like bad boy, like from the other side of the tracks type
That's
of situation.
The blonde one, right?
The blonde guy, yeah. So because Sandy Cohen. What? Who's the guy that plays the dad in that?
Is
like,
that
I feel like you would know
the one with
name.
The thick eyebrows, Peter.
Yeah.
Gallagher.
Yes, Peter Gallagher. So he plays Sandy Cohen. He's
so
the dad.
Handsome.
He's Jewish, but like Seth Cohen's mom is not Jewish. So Seth has made up his own holiday, and he calls it Chrismica, basically.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
And he like the very first season. He like explains it and like makes this whole big deal about he wants. He's like, this is the year Chrismica is going to catch on.
So what happens in this episode?
So it's like it's just like a holiday episode, you know, like the old like 27 episode seasons, like they would set aside an episode as like a holiday episode. Like I feel like they did it in even the Vampire Diaries would have like holiday episodes sometimes. But like. It would be like them celebrating the holidays and having holiday parties. And like, I can't specifically remember like off the top of my head because it's been a while since I did it. But like for a while every year, I would watch just all four Chrismica episodes. So I wouldn't rewatch
like
the whole
that,
show.
Actually.
I would just do like a marathon of all of the holiday episodes.
I do that with friends with the Thanksgiving episodes.
Yes. Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Similar to that. So
man,
yeah.
OC, I'm gonna have to check this out because you have been all about the OC.
Oh my gosh, that's one of my top five shows for sure.
I used to mix that up with The Hills.
Yeah, The Hills was entertaining, but
guys, the look on Megan's fucking face when I said that.
I did
pure
watch
disgust.
It and Laguna Beach.
Laguna Beach, yeah.
The Hills was a spinoff of Laguna Beach.
Oh,
so
God.
I do really like Lauren Conrad has a line at Kohl's. And
really?
It's
like
been
her.
There for a while. And like the clothes are always really cute. Like,
why not?
So, exactly.
Love that.
Yeah. So that's my, those are my holiday shout outs. So
those are really good. I think you had really solid picks. I mean, they're very Megan. You basically took me through the timeline of your college experience, and I kind of got a bird's eye view of, you know, the partying you kind of got down with, but you had great picks. My final pick was 2016, I think I'm in the right year, Better Watch Out, and it's a movie that was made over in Australia, and you could handle it. I actually would like to hear your thoughts on it because I heard about it and I was like, what is this? Is this a horror movie? Is this like a dark comedy? And I rarely ever buy physical media, especially blind. But I was like, everyone's raving about it. I'm just going to buy it. And I remember watching it. And the first half of the movie, you think it's going to be one type of movie. And it's got like really great humor in it. And then it takes such a twist and it still kind of stays as a dark comedy. But it does such a 180 that you're like, wait, what? And it has such a satisfying ending. Like, I cheer every time. But it's got high rewatch value. And, like, it takes place in this huge house. And just, it's so decorated to the nines for, like, the holiday season for Christmas. You're just like, this is visually pleasing. And it's got a, you know, it plays all the Christmas music and stuff. But it just, like, it for some weird reason, I was like, you know what? Every Christmas Eve, I'm going to watch this. And I do it every year. Like, good luck, Melissa and Brandon. I'm spending the holidays in Chicago. They're going to be like, absolutely not. I'm going to be like, tradition. And I watch it. And it's not exactly like, you know, wholesome fun. But it's funny. It's got some great moments. But one thing I noticed is it's all Australian actors. And they do great American accents. And except for Virginia Madsen, I think she plays the mom in it. But all the doorknobs, and I don't know if this is an Australian thing, they're super up high on the door. and it throws me. That's the only thing that kind of takes me out of the movie, because I'm like, look at how high that doorknob is. That bothers me. But the reason why I kind of looked into it was Dacre Montgomery from Stranger Things, who plays Billy, he has this bit part. And it's so memorable, but he basically plays like he is the epitome of the douchebag ex-boyfriend. And there's just this great scene where he's like, he thinks his girlfriend wants to like patch things up. So he's alone in his car and he's like practicing what he's going to say, but he's trying to sound cool. And he's like, yeah, we're cool. We're cool. And he's hyping himself up and he's like, yeah, fuck yeah, we're cool. And I don't know if it was an accident or not, but he tries to open the door. He misses the handle. So he has to do it again. He's like, yeah. And he is like the funniest part of the movie. It's a bit part, but it's so goddamn funny. He has like the backwards cap and the puffy jacket. And I did a cosplay of it once, and it's probably my most attractive cosplay ever.
You and actually look hot. I mean, come on.
I mean, Stacey, come on. But I actually was bummed because this company, I'll remember the name later, but they made like this custom VHS of it. And at Upside Down Con, I was going to have Dacre actually sign it and tell him how I watched it every Christmas Eve. So, Dacre, congratulations on your new project. That looks really cool, Bill Skarsgård, but come back to the States, boo. We miss you.
I wish you could have, like, asked him at the meet and greet that we were supposed to go to with him, like, whether the door handle thing was, like, on purpose or
See,
not.
That I feel like... I thought you were going to mention the doorknob. The door, like, the door opening would make sense. That'd be a great question. But, you know, I'd mix up the questions and I'd be like, Dacre, I noticed all the doorknobs are suspiciously high in this movie. That would not have landed. He would have no idea what I was talking about. It would have gone on forever. You would have just been shaking your head and I probably would have been escorted out. So maybe it worked out for the best. I was bummed out, but yeah, he's got a cool project coming up. So congratulations. But yeah, Dacre Montgomery is part of my like one Christmas tradition that I stick to. So better watch out.
Yeah. It's fun to like make little holiday traditions and stuff like that. I love holiday movies. That's one of my favorite.
Right. We picked some good ones too. Some really good ones.
I think so too. I can't wait to watch. I kind of want to watch all three that you talked about.
I think you would like them, especially I think Better Watch Out.
Yeah.
And Night of the Comet would be up your stream. Die Hard is like if you just like pointless action movies, like it's a fun romp.
Yeah, I'm sure my husband has probably seen it, but oh, yeah. I might try to make him watch it with me. We'll see.
I'm going to watch The Holiday after this, and I will
Yeah, I can't believe
back.
You've never watched that.
I know. Look at you.
So, all right. Well, I think that's pretty much it for this episode today. It was mm-hmm. super fun chatting and just getting in the holiday spirit, and we hope everybody has a wonderful holiday if you celebrate Christmas, and if not, just enjoy this dark time of year. That's the other thing. I love lights, and it's just because
yes.
like it's mostly because like I hate the dark, so it's like I like the brightness of like the holiday lights.
Smartest thing I could have ever done was put the Christmas lights on my collection, because it just makes the living room like more lit and cozy, you know, because right after you take your tree down in your living room, you're always like, it's so dark in here.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So all right, well, also, have a happy new year, because we
Same
will not have
oh,
another
I thought you
episode.
Were, I thought you were wishing me a
yes,
happy new year.
Well, I will talk to you before.
Yeah, you're going to talk to me,
before.
But happy new year to all
but
of you.
To all of our listeners. Thank you for hanging out with us this year.
It has been a ball. And thank you for all your support, guys. Like, we have met so many cool people, and just meeting fellow fans has just been so much fun to just talk about this show, especially as we're amping up for the grand finale, you know?
Yeah, totally. So, all right. Well, that's a wrap on 2024. And
remember 24. Still carry Sue's Skull Rock broadcast. That's the end of the new year. Boom.
I hope that little soundbite starts to go viral on like remembering 2024, like reels and TikToks and stuff like that.
Which, did you realize that your ice cream scooper also says 24? I thought I was special.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Brandy goes, yeah, I noticed you post that. They all say 24, Stacey. And I go, yeah, I was thinking I was special.
Oh, so they all, like, that's the year it happened. So that makes
sense.
Oh,
shit. I didn't even think that year. I mean, like, what a coincidence. Yeah, that's so weird.
Oh my gosh. Well, on remember 2024. It will be one to remember for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Over and out.
Eddie, I'm not sure I love the idea of you driving.
Oh, I'm starting to suck her. Harrington's daughter. Don't you, big boy?
All right. We are back. We're back for our secret steady segment. And, of course, this is a nice holiday-themed secret segment today.
Yeah.
Which is going to be super fun. We're going to kind of talk about some of our favorite steady fics that we have read that are set around the winter or the holidays. So I just remembered that I did like a whole bunch of holiday fic recommendations.
Really?
Like on social media last year. And I was trying to call it like the 12 days of steady, and I didn't really finish the 12 days because you know how I go. You know how I do.
But, we know how Megan be.
But I do. I just like refreshed my memory, and there's so many good ones. So I'm not really sure exactly which ones I want to talk about today, but I'll try to reshare some of those.
Please do, maybe because I'm going to be at the
broadcast
airport.
Channel that we made for Skull Rock Book Club. So check that out on Instagram. But I do have a couple like that I remember off the top of my head that I definitely want to mention. And I know mm-hmm. you have a couple also. So I'll just start with the one
Kick it off.
I talked about last week that mm-hmm. I was currently reading last week. I did finish that.
Okay.
Oh, I'm like so sad it's over. Yeah. Like it like just like nestled itself into my heart. Like it
what
was such
the name
a
of that
good
one
story.
Again? Remind me.
It was called If You Were a Melody, in parentheses, I used only the good notes, which is a line from The Holiday, because which I was talking about on this.
Oh,
that you're you're about to watch.
I'm gonna
when
read
we finish.
That after I watch the movie.
Yes,
boom.
Watch the movie first. Then you can read these other fics that I've been talking about that are like inspired by The Holiday, because
ooh,
it'll
exciting.
Make more sense, you know. But that's a line from that movie, and it's the title of the fic. It doesn't actually like get said. I think they do like make a little reference to using only the good notes or something like that in the fic. But I really loved it. Like it was a house swap situation. I talked a lot about it last week, so I'm not going to like recap it too much. But Steve lives in LA, best friends with Nancy.
He's Cameron Diaz.
Yes. And Eddie lives in Vermont. For... But yes, he's Jude Law. Eddie
oh,
is
hell. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And you don't really, Robin actually goes to LA, but you don't actually get much of their story, Robin and Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
In this other one, though, that I'll just go right into talking about, which was called Something Slightly Resembling Gumption, which is another line from the movie.
Oh, wow.
They do the house swap thing, but it's a little different. Steve is from LA, stays in LA. Nancy goes to New York to Eddie's apartment. So it's Nancy and Eddie actually swapping houses instead of Robin and Steve in this fic are swapping.
I like that. Yeah.
So that one, Robin is in New York. Nancy meets Robin in New York. And then Eddie meets Steve in LA. That's another really fun like house swap holiday inspired one. So both of those are really good, and I love them, you know, because I love The Holiday, but they're also just like really good on their own. Give me one of yours.
So I've been on a bit of one of our favorite authors, the same author as Take the Money and Run. This Apple Pie Life, they did two Christmas stories. I'm going to name one right now. And the first one is If Only You Believe, and it's kind of in its own universe, but it takes place in the future, and it starts off a little sad. Steve is older, probably like mid-50s or late 40s, somewhere around there. And every day he goes to the mall and eats at the food court because his wife passed away a few years ago. And his kids are grown. It's around the holidays. And he's kind of bummed out and stuff. But he won't like let on to Robin on the phone that like he's not doing that great. And then he notices this charming Santa Claus that's so great with the kids and stuff. And, you know, surprise, surprise, it's Eddie. And they don't know each other in this story, but he actually like sits down and finishes his lunch with Steve. And he's like, oh, yeah, I grow my beard out and stuff. And, you know, I love doing this every year for the kids. And they start meeting every day at the mall after he does his shift to Santa. He changes and they like old people, they walk around the mall. They maybe get a Cinnabon. And it's got one of the most like cutest endings. It just tugs on the heartstrings and stuff. I love older Steady. So I'm just like, this is adorable. So yeah.
I definitely need to check that one out. I have not read it. And you know that I also love This Apple Pie Life. So that is going to go on my list maybe immediately because mm-hmm. I'm super sad about this other fic that I just finished being over. So I need more holiday ones.
Yeah,
to read.
You do.
But I don't have the names of these off the top of my head. I will
just describe them.
I will share them in our broadcast channel.
One, we're going to share them.
I've read a couple other mall Santa Steady fics too. So one, I'm pretty sure, I can't remember, like I said, the details, but one, I'm pretty sure like Hopper is Santa and Eddie and Chrissy are like elves that work.
Oh my God,
around
it's
Santa.
Adorable.
And then like they meet Steve, I think. But then there's another one where I think maybe Steve has to like be Santa, but it might be the same one. Like maybe
to
Steve
I'm
has
into
to
it.
Like, yeah, maybe Steve has to be like fill in for Hopper or something. I don't know. They all kind of like mix up in my brain, but like I love the mall Santa like trope for Steve.
Right? It's so cute.
Yeah, that's good. So the next one I'm going to talk about is, it's called Blackbird, and it's by, I want to say, Singing in May.
Okay.
They're actually a author, but then they also make podfics, and they read their own writing in the podfic. You could read it, or you could listen to it, and it's just really sweet. The whole premise is like Steve is like decorating at his house, and like Eddie
is anything
helping.
Steve does, I'm swooning. I'm like, oh, he's decorating. He's taking the trash out. Oh my God. RTG.
Yeah. So I'm not like really describing it that well, but I definitely have listened to it. Like I'm going to listen to it again this year, and it's going to be the third year in a row that I've listened to it because.
Is it just him decorating?
It's a shorter story. It's not super long. Mm-hmm. And it's like mostly the them decorating Steve's house is kind of like the main kind of.
That's cute.
Yeah. And then Eddie ends up giving Steve something, and I can't really like give it away.
A blowjob.
Like, giving away. No, Stacey, it's really sweet.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. No. He gave his love. There we go.
Yeah. But like, it's kind of like, you know, the whole like Christmas ornaments on the tree and like memories of like the past and stuff like that. So it's very like,
I apologize
nostalgic.
For saying blowjob now.
Yeah. It's a really sweet story. You're ruining it.
Megan is just
your smut. Speaking of smut, you brought up them getting snowed in a car and fucking.
And what's the name of that one?
The
baby?
Name of that is Defrost by Adore.
That's a good one. A classic.
Yes, definitely read that one. Very wintry themed. And, you know, they're snowed in a car. And
that car, though,
a little steamy. They stay warm.
They do stay warm. Poor Hopper. Yeah. I mean, probably doing highway patrol. So my other one was from This Apple Pie Life, and it is another Christmas story, and it's called Let the Boys Be Merry. And I might have mentioned it once before in the past, but it's like Eddie and Steve have been together for years now, and Eddie, believe it or not, in this fic is like a little more practical. Like he's like, oh, I've never really been into the holidays. Me and Wayne never really did anything. You know, I don't really get it. I'm not into it. He's kind of a Scrooge. And Steve every year wants to, like, put up lights and this and that. And Eddie always complains about how cold it is. Now it's going to drive up the electrical bill. And I'm like, you're speaking like you're in your 30s. Relax. And basically it hits him that he's like, wait, like, we're not planning on adopting. We're not going to have any kids. And all the, you know, the original party is grown up. So Steve, who always wanted a family, like, this is kind of his way to, like, you know, cheer himself up during this time of year. And he instantly is like, I am the biggest asshole. So he tries to make it up to him to, like, have this, like, great Christmas and stuff and stop the bitching. And it's just really sweet again. Not smutty. Shocking. No blowjobs in that one. But it's just really, really sweet. But there is a scene where, like, Eddie's freezing his ass off and, like, he's like, Steve, you better not fall off this ladder because one more concussion and bye bye birdie. But just really, really good. And we all know what a fantastic author that is. So great holiday stories.
Yeah, they're great. Let me see if there's any more that I wanted to mention. Those were the big ones that I had off the top of my head.
I'm glad you remembered DeFrost. That's a great one.
Yes, that is a really good one. I'm going to try to find this fic where Steve has to go try to find the Christmas tree cakes for Robin because she has the flu.
You need to find that. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember what that one was called. But, oh, speaking of a Durer, another one of my favorites by them is Let It Roll Into the Night. And there's a podfic of that story by Singing in May, which I was talking about before with Blackbird. And it's not really a holiday or Christmas fic, but it, it goes through the seasons of the year. Cool. And there's, like, a winter part, which is, like, my favorite part of the fic. So that's a really good one. I also was going to shout out Tell Me a Story, our friend Jen, because they have a couple cute, like, holiday fix. And actually the first podfic that I ever recorded was a little short microfic called Warm Me by the Fire, a steady holiday microfic, and it is, like, a sweet little story, and I had such a fun time, like, and that's just special to me because it was, like, first podfic I ever recorded. But yeah, I have a bunch too that I had recommended last year, but I think I want to read some new ones this year, too. So I'll try to find some new ones and, yeah, send them in our little broadcast channel.
I know, like, on Tumblr, there's a bunch of them that, like, link to archive and stuff because this is when people are doing prompts for Christmas and the holidays. And nothing is cozier than those two, you know, just celebrating the holidays.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I love Christmas and I love steady. So, like, holiday steady fix are, like, yes, mind-blowing.
It is like ice cream and cake.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, this was so fun. Thanks for doing this.
Of course.
And everybody else, thanks for listening. We already kind of said our goodbyes earlier, so we won't bore you, but yeah, happy Christmas. Happy holidays. I'm British now, so.
Brilliant. And Joseph Quinn. Oh, yeah, Horror's a Christmas movie.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Nothing says the holidays more than that pancake ass just laying next to the tree. That's the real gift. Over and out.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon. Deuces.
Deuces. You're gonna have so much fun editing that episode.